I've announced this message. It's a very important message. I feel probably it is one of the most important that the Lord has ever given to me. There are often mixed reactions in people's minds when we speak of the supernatural. I realize that there have been different reactions to the when I make reference to a visitation of angels or some supernatural truth that God has brought. But in most cases, skepticism that people may have quickly leaves them when they listen to the message themselves. Because it is something unexpected, though people in their hearts and their desires that God cares enough about us and that he will visit us and that he will speak to us, there's still a little jolt, a little reaction when it happens. But most of it is just a reverse expression down in the hearts. People are hoping that this is that God is revisiting in a special way his people. And I've received a number of letters and telephone calls from people who said that they viewed this with great skepticism until they listened to the message. And as they turned it on and listened, God quickened their hearts. And he said, it's God. One man spoke to me on the telephone call long distance. He said, it has the ring of truth. Hallelujah. I told him it has to be the truth because they're not my words. They're words God has brought. Praise God. God is doing something so special, and I feel that God has honored me, and God has smiled on this congregation by by his care and by the visits that he has brought right here. It's very, very special. I think of the messages. I'm not going to go into all of these messages, but make reference to some of them. That first message that was brought to me by Gabriel, I think of the reluctance that I had to give it because I didn't know where it was going to go. I didn't know what it was going to do. I have spent 29 years in this community endeavoring to share Christ with the people, and the community recognizes my ministry, and it's accepted. And I didn't want to, in one evening, destroy by giving something that would cause defenses to rise and people to be turned off or turned away. And I was reluctant. And as you recall, those of you that have heard this before, I waited 3 weeks. God told me to give it, but I just couldn't. I waited 3 weeks. And in the middle of the night, those same strong hands that gripped my shoulders that first time raised me up in bed and said, you haven't given that message. I felt that I was in trouble.
Certainly that gave it to me since.
I still felt reluctant, but I did ask Gabriel, you're here. Why don't you give it? There's some reason why, but he said, no, he could not, unless except that God would permit him to, but then I would have to give it. And I gave that message that night. For those of you that have listen to the message, good news for you and your family. Those of you that have it, it would pay you to get that tape and to listen to it. Tell all of the truths in that. Really, grip your heart. It came from God's heart. The building was as full as it is right now when I gave that message. This was back in the early part of July. And since that time, literally hundreds of thousands of tapes have gone out across the country. They have been duplicated here as fast as we could get them out. But the people that have received them have duplicated them. And the people that they have sent them to have duplicated them. I have a letter in my office now. Another lady has bought an expensive duplicating machine in Wenatchee, Washington. And she is sending them out across the country. I have a letter from a lady in Bremerton who has literally sent out hundreds to the people in that community. There's a place in Florida that's duplicating them by the thousands and sending them out. And that the word is, these truths are moving out. Praise God. These messages are made very, very real by God. I think of that truth that he made so real, the believer's judgment that day that God has chosen to say thanks. That the 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, where he tells us that at that time shall every man have praise of God. That day is coming because you have done, entered in, and done the type of things for people that God wants to do for them, in lifting their burdens, in helping them, in sharing and strengthening their hands, in encouraging them, in brightening lives and homes. Those are things that are very important to God because God loves people so much. This is at the heart of his message. Then I think of the desire that God has for every believer, that we represent him and all that he is to the world. His life, his body, his bread, his word, his light. I think of the message where I wept so hard that the van shook as God spoke to me about the sacrifice of Jesus and the Lamb of God that was slain. I think of the message he brought me on the new covenant, that because our high priest went into the heavenlies and he blotted out as a thick cloud every record of anything that could be against us and said, here, written in my blood is a new covenant for you. And that new covenant says, your sins and your iniquities will I remember against you no more forever. You can read that in Hebrews 10, verses 16 and 17. Regardless of the message that God has spoken to me about through this heavenly messenger, they all come back. Every message comes back to one central truth that has proven to be the very heart of God. The heart of the Bible, the heart of all history, it's at the very core, the very center of God's message to us, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus. These angelic visitors have visited me 12 times, and they have not gone once without mentioning the sacrifice. These truths must be very, very important to God. God wants them heralded and slashed across the land today. They must be very important to people in the preparation for these days, to lift them from fear and from the struggles and the burdens that they may be going through, trying to some way lift themselves into a position where they could please God. And God is showing what he has accomplished, what his plans are, as you read in Ephesians 1 and verse 4, where he tells us that long he called us, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, and his plans were then too, that we should be holy and without blame, without a single fault in his eyes. And his plan was, as he put it together and set it in motion, was a plan that would make us acceptable to him. Totally acceptable. Actually, I can't help but think of the message that he gave to me of the great covering of the believers, the blood of Jesus. And how that as God looks at us on our faith is in that covering, that blood, he looks at us and sees us looking just exactly like Jesus. And then the giving of his Spirit and the Word, that our lives can be molded and made like Jesus, so that the fruit of his Spirit, his love, his joy, his peace, his gentleness, his long-suffering, the very characteristics of Jesus might be seen in us. And then, he said, then the world gets to see you just like I see you. Now, this is God's big plan for our lives. These truths are so real. These messages that he has brought, he has not at any time changed the Word of God. But what he has done has been to reveal and turn a light in the Word and cause the Word to pulsate with his life. Literally come alive. For he's gone forever. The importance of the sacrifice of Jesus is seen by the reminders that he has given in every message of the sacrifice. And this morning is a communion time. It's definitely a time to remember. And I'm going to enlarge on these messages, bringing parts of three or four together, because they are all the message coming from different points, centering on the sacrifice of Christ. 2 weeks ago, on Thursday morning, it was about 5 minutes after one, the Spirit of God woke me up. Don't ask, how do you know it was the Spirit? After all these years, I know the Spirit and his dealing. And I know how he magnifies God and the Word. The Spirit woke me up and asked me to go downstairs. You say, how did he do that? Was it a little impression that he gave you? So many, many times the Spirit has ministered to me and spoken to me when I didn't hear a voice. It was just something I was hearing inside. But Thursday morning, and I say this again, probably causing a little skepticism in some hearts, but I must tell you this, that he spoke audibly to me on Thursday. And he asked me to, he visited with me, talking to me about many of these things, things I can't even tell you at this moment, but things that are so real and so true. But one of the things that he said was for me to write down these messages. And I wrote down just the exact words that he was giving to me right there. I am not going to read you the entire message that I wrote, but I will give you some that will relate to our communion time. The Holy Spirit said, "Write, preserve the words that I have spoken to you. They shall become a light to many. I will not only minister through you, but will accompany these words and give them life wherever sent, even as I have already given wings to my messages brought to you by the angel of the Lord." God has given them wings. They're out across the country. "Fear not to speak in his name, for the words I give are not your words. So I stand here today without fear." He said, not to be afraid, to say, "Fear not to speak in his name, for the words I give are not your words, but his words, and are established forever. Are they not found in his eternal living word?" I might digress right here. There has not been one message that has been brought, but what it has been strongly supported and brought to and given complete with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Every message has had references, complete references to the truths that he was making real. "Are they not found in his eternal word?" And I had to see if that's they are. Every one of them, praise God. "Long closed doors of many peoples and nations will be penetrated by these words of life." He told me that these words would be sent into Communist China through the little crack that has been opened there. I don't know who's going to take them, but I do know this, no question about it. He says it's going to happen. These messages are going to go into Communist China. "Long closed doors of many peoples and nations will be penetrated by these words of life. I command the hosts of the Lord who have been sent forth for this hour to hasten the gathering together unto him a people for his name, and to prepare them for that great day of the Lord." They will both precede and follow these words from the Father to make ready his people. And to scatter forces of darkness, and to gently care for the multitudes who will hear. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. These messages, I referred to them this morning. But the one that I want to emphasize this morning is Jesus as a sacrifice. Jesus as our sacrifice. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, since this is so important to God, I feel that is must be important to us. And there's something that God wants to do for us and within us in this communion service. The Apostle Paul had been given the very same message, just complete, regarding this communion. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, this is verse 23, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. If you have a pen or a pencil, underline the little phrase, this is my body. There's an importance to this. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, or the New Covenant, in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I want you to underline the words, not discerning the Lord's body. This is so important. This message is so important this morning because it comes from God's heart. He's wanting to tell us something that will help us in understanding communion. Now, I have felt down through the years I've received so much from communion, and I have. And I have emphasized the life of Jesus, which is very real and makes it so we can have communion, his life. But God, through the message that he has brought, said that there is still greater truths, a story that has still not been told in connection with communion that will add still greater meaning to people and their hearts and their lives. In that, Jesus, in speaking about both in prophecy and in the New Testament, in Hebrews 10:5, he's telling about the work that God gave him to do, that work of becoming a sacrifice for sin. And he said, a body hast thou prepared for me. A body hast thou prepared for me. And in the Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and a little farther down, verse 20, he said that we can enter now into that place of close fellowship through his flesh. Now, Paul, in talking about that body that was prepared for Jesus, he said, we eat of the body. We've come to remember that body. See? And we're in trouble, and we're selling ourselves short and have all kinds of problems if we do not recognize and see that body. Yes, this body is so important to see. What is it that's so important about it? We must go back to to the sacrifices of Israel in the tabernacle, to see the value of these sacrifices, to see what they were. The sacrifice, the entire tabernacle was a picture, a miniature of God's great big plan for salvation for all times. And God gave Moses this plan. And he said, I want to show you, Moses, just how my big plan works. And everything about this plan is a little picture of Jesus and his sacrifice. Now, he said one of the most important parts, the first thing inside of this tabernacle is a brazen altar. And on this brazen altar, there will be a sacrifice burned. It will be burned to ashes. And those ashes will even be sprinkled on the individual who is going to be accepted of God. I didn't realize until last night, early this morning, I felt my wife's abundance. I hated to wake her up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but she said she was already awake, so it wasn't so bad. But Gabriel, knowing and God placing this message on my heart, came and talked to me about this sacrifice. And he gave me some truths to share with you that I have never thought of in my life, though they're there so beautifully. That tabernacle had to be so exact because it was picturing what Jesus was doing for us. And that sacrifice had to feel the searing heat of judgment by fire. That on that sacrifice, all of the sins of Israel were placed. And then that sacrifice, being made sin, felt that searing heat. So that when Israel came to be accepted, and the ashes were sprinkled along with the blood, God was saying to Israel, you have given me your sins. I am giving back to you now and letting you see the empty shells, the mere cinders, the ashes of something that has lost its power and life. It's reduced. Nothing. Because the fire of judgment has been diverted from you to a substitute. And your sins were there on the body of that substitute. And they were exploded as the judgment of God's drug.
He reminded me of, and gave me the reference, which something I'm sure you're all familiar with in Hebrews, chapter 9, and verse 13 and 14, where he said, and I have never seen it before in my life, but there it is, so clear and so beautiful, with the light turned on. He said, if this kind of a sacrifice, that the sprinkling of blood and the ashes of a heifer would be effective in the purifying of a life so that people could go and say, it's done. It's done. My sins that were placed there are nothing but ashes. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Sparked its thing is power. And they could go their way. The Spirit is saying to all, if the ashes of a heifer that spelled out, and as they discerned the body where their sins were held, and if that gave them freedom for that whole year,
Paul said, how much more? How much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ and his sacrifice, how much more shall it purge completely remove from your mind and your conscience, your emotions? How much more shall what Jesus did, his body being struck by the righteous judgment of God? He literally tasted hell for us. It was the outpouring of God's judgment upon Jesus. And he said we could deserve this. His body there. How much more will that purge your conscience? So that when the enemy would come your way, you can point to the body and say, see, take that. Those sins that you're trying to haunt me with are nothing but burned out sinners. And the power of sin has been canceled. Can you see it, folks? Can you see it? If you're hearing what I say, I want you to say, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I believe you're hearing it. Praise God forever. This is the reason why God has set aside a time when we can come and look and be reminded again and again that it's done. The price is made. It's done. His wrath has been diverted from me to Jesus. And my sins were judged when he was judged. Glory to God. But these important reminders of the sacrifice, I want to mention them to you. The pictures that were brought to me from heaven, Zechariah 3:1-5, speaks of the high priest whose name was Joshua, going before the Father with filthy garments. Well, the reason that's the word Joshua, that Joshua is the Hebrew word, for Hebrew translation or pronunciation of the Greek word Jesus. I just had seen it when I'd read it before, but he made no mention of the difference in the name. He just talked about Jesus going before the Father with those filthy garments, buried every sin of his body, every sin of the whole world. I'm going to read just a little bit more of what the Spirit of the Lord told me to write with regard to sacrifice. Because of the accusations of Satan and the daily reminders of sin, failure, and human weakness, you may forget what God has done. You must be reminded. You must remember. God, in his wisdom, has provided a time and a way for this to be accomplished. This is the purpose of his communion service. A time to remember what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Here he asks us to look upon his body, to see your sin and the sins of the world placed upon him by God. Every lie, every sin against yourself or others, murder, all adultery, all immorality, all dishonesty, all cheating, all rebellion and idolatry, all enmity through witchcraft and Satanism. Yes, everything with which you could be charged is laid on
him.
He has become sin for you. Buried in his body the concentrated dregs of the rottenness of billions. He points to his body. He points to his body as you hold it in that symbolic, in that broken breath. He points to his body, to your sin, and tells you that your sin has already been judged. You are free. As you behold him smitten of God with the searing stroke of his judgment, you see there the canceled sin of the world. Jesus felt the fire of God's wrath so it wouldn't fall on us. With this reminder of your peace with him, you can speed the message to the world. You can come. You have been accepted. God's wrath has been turned away. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Then he asks us to look at Jesus, the high priest, carrying his blood, entering the very tabernacle of God in the heavens, where the records of sin is kept. Not only the act of sin in our lives, but the records of sin, the disobedience, the breaking of his laws and of his covenant. And we see the high priest. He said, see him as he splashes his blood on the book of broken laws, upon the altar of the broken commandments. Thus, as a thick cloud blotting out forever the records of anything in heaven that's written in heaven that you could be charged. Not only the act of sin, as the evil of sin in this earth and in your life, but the records of it. Hallelujah. And he said, as we see him doing that, we see him bringing to us a new covenant. We read about it in these verses we read to you. In 1 Corinthians 11, it's the New Testament, the blood of the New Testament. And he points to this New Testament in Hebrews 10, 16 and 17. And that testament, that new agreement that he is holding out to you, I'm going to read it for you right now. And these words, these verses that I'm giving to you, I did not put together, I did not look up. They came by the voice of the Spirit for us today. Listen to it. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has turned sin into cinders. He's blotted out the records and given us a brand new covenant. You know why he did that? It's because he wants us. We're worth so much to God. He's not looking for reasons to destroy us, but to save us. God has so much invested in us. Praise God. He tells us now, as we see him, the spotless Lamb of God prepared from the foundation of the world. We see him now as the sin-bearer coming before God with filthy garments. See him there, stricken of God. See him now as the high priest, sprinkling the blood in heaven, sprinkling the book of the covenant that is now fulfilled. All of man's possible failures covered by blood that speaks to God. Since it's done. Hallelujah. See him totally remove the need for pardon by removing the remembrance of sin. In Israel, there was a remembrance of sin made year after year after year. And man was pardoned, but sin was remembered. But in the New Testament, my heart was so stirred when Gabriel spoke with such commanding tones to me and said that when Jesus came, the need for pardon was removed. Because pardon before God is a remembrance, reminds him of the sin, of what he had to forgive us for. But when Jesus came, he removed the records completely. He removed the stain and the guilt. And his blood speaks and says, justified, restored to a place of total innocence because of Christ. The place that we occupied before sin ever entered the world. The word justification means just exactly as though it had never happened. Oh, talk about the blessedness of knowing that God sees us as though it had never happened. Hallelujah. Then he made this statement, and this really, really spoke to me. He said, for this reason, the message of redemption is not recorded, or the message of a pardon is not recorded in the New Testament. I didn't know that. I thought I had preached on it a lot from the New Testament. But he said, it's not there. The message is not there. And when he left that day 2 weeks ago, I took my concordance and I looked. I looked for any English word connected with it. I looked for any of the original words. And I shouldn't say I was surprised, because I know God knows what he's doing. But I was a little bit happily surprised. He was right. Do you know the word pardon is not found in the New Testament? And either the Greek or the English, I say, the word pardon is not there. It has turned to justification, complete restoration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because of the blood, God sees you just as though it had never happened. So the day when you take that broken bread in your hand, I want you to visualize there those things that have been haunting you, those things that the enemy has been holding up before you and saying, and that these things are going to meet you in the judgment. I want you to be able to say, there they are. I want you to see the hideousness. This broken body is not a beautiful thing. It's a horrible thing. With every sin. With the wickedness that you can think of in the evilest life that you could possibly imagine. Multiply it a billion times. See the roughness and the stench that was there. But then, thank God, he bore the judgment. And your sins that were there are nothing but empty ashes. Hallelujah. So he said, when let the Lord sprinkle your life with this truth, and it will pull from your conscience, from your minds, those things that would trouble you, and you can be free. Far. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about those dead works trying to do it, lift you up. Oh, no. It'll purge your conscience from all of the feeling of these dead works that you're trying to somehow lift yourselves up so you can please God. And the enemy wants you to keep your mind on that. But God says, turn and look. Turn and look what I've done. And we're going to do that this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel that the Lord is here in such a precious way. Let's just tell him thanks. And when you want to tell him thanks for what he's done. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for bearing our guilt, our shame. Praise thy wonderful name. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'd like to say that this is not for believers. It's for people.
It's for people.
I'll need release and deliver us from the bondage of head of anything that the enemy would bring. And when you take that flood, that emblem of that flood, you're telling the Lord, my face is in this flood. That's what he's done. I thank you for blotting out as a thick cloud all of my transgression. You can look up into his face right now with nothing between your soul and your Savior. You can look up in his face with the same innocence of this little girl that I did held up to the Lord this morning. Your heart is clean, as spotless as a newborn child. I'm going to ask our brethren to come right now. We're going to serve communion. This will not take very long, but it's going to have meaning to you that could change all of those days ahead. I feel that if this is so important to God, that God would, by a divine messenger, bring it to me. I feel it has to be important to us. Praise God.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the world, who caused to come forth bread of the earth.
Take eat. This is my body broken for you.
It's a bench that breathes by God. And though it turned the south solid, to us but half there.
So it being baby mirror does not be bitten.
Even so, I want to be near the carry in her. If they bring her, but I bring them out. So maybe I can't wait to add a point of
curse will be an energy at the
end. So look at the pop of it. And we don't hear each other, you can't even say it all the way. And then we
and drink from this, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on the behalf of many for their forgiveness of sins.
Words.
See, spell out of the army from me, you cut out when that intends to support Pat at the Hannah and Sneeze. But if they don't see the good green,
don't get the deuce with the room with that.
Sit at it again, they run their room 33rd.
Yes, please.
Yes. Born.
So I thought
we didn't scroll out of the year, we didn't stop out of the game, and the third one.
Tapes of this message will be available. The Spirit said, I will give wings to these words. Would you serve the Lord in this way by getting a message, listening to it, making it real in your own heart, sharing it with other people that they might know? It could be that in the days not too far distant, there will be such pressure brought from both from teachings, seemingly even full gospel teachings, that it would again remind people of their weakness and your failure and their guilt, and builds fear again in their hearts. But God today is preparing a church that is an overcoming church. A church that is triumphant, not because of human strength, but because He did it. And as He hung on the cross, His last words were, "It is finished." Hallelujah. 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 And as we take the energies that we have spent struggling with these things and start turning those energies to letting our lives be that channel for His life. Thrones. Oh, we'll be strong. We won't have to start fighting things that are already dead. He got. Praise the Lord.